Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Wow. This place is loaded right now. Turn to the person next to you and say, "It's electric in here." And why don't you put your hand on them right now? Because the Bible says that out of your innermost being will flow a river of living water. A river of living water is in this place. And some of you may never have experienced the water of God. I believe right now you're going to experience the water of God. It's a river. And Ezekiel talks about it not just being ankle deep. It talks about it not even being knee deep. It talks about it not even being there. It actually talks about a river that cannot be forded. It's a river of impossibility. It's a river of impossibility. And I want you right now to turn your faith to the Spirit of the living God. He's called the river. And I want you to release the river on your neighbor right now. Release the river on your neighbor. Say, "No more ankle deep over them, God. Get them, not knee deep, God. Not knee deep, God. Lord, not even waist deep, God. Take them over their heads. Over their heads. Impossible water, God. Impossible water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Raph, come out here. I got a word for you. Yeah, I'm going to tip water on you. Oh, you did, didn't you? You brought this on yourself. You did, didn't you? Everyone stretch out your hands to Raph. Nima, come out here as well. You come out. Let's give it up for this incredible duo right now. I won't tip it on you, I promise. Yeah, stretch out your hands. Ezekiel 47. Oh, bro, I'm so sorry about this. Ezekiel 47 declares that a river that I could not ford will be where I'm invited to. And right now, I declare you are leaders who release the unfordable water. You are river releasers. There is a shift coming over you. There's a shift coming over your ministry. There's a mighty move of God. I see, like, this is a funny picture, okay, brother, but water's on your head, so you got to go with this. God has been baking something for you for a long time, both of you, and it's a giant toothbrush. Massive, like it's the biggest toothbrush. And I feel like you are about to release the righteousness of God into the mouth of the Aussie church. I believe that there is a mandate. A mandate to release mint freshness into the body of Christ. No more stale coffee breath for the Aussie church. There is going to be a shift, and it'll be beautiful. It'll be the kiss of God. It'll be the kiss of God for the Australian church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we declare unfordable water. Unfordable water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Father, we just declare, Lord, it's like God had given you a powder puff. I don't know what that is actually, but something that I've seen on the Muppets where they go, "Make up!" And they powder hits them on the face. You have the power of the powder of God. I just see you now. There's a new authority coming on you, and you're going to punch impossibilities out of people. You're going to punch them out of, and they're going to be left with the beautiful powder of God on their faces. They're going to look like Jesus. It's like you're going to be like a lioness. You're going to see that stronghold on people, and you're just going to roar and smack them with the powder puff of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, God, we thank you for the weight that these guys have carried. And the team. All the team, come out here. I want all the team, the leadership, the senior leadership team. Is that right, Dave? Is that what you guys are called? Come out here real quick. This is a holy moment. Man, God is all over you guys. Chunky soup. Thank you, Lord. There's a lot of you, isn't there? Put your hands out. I just want to declare this over you as I bless Numa's carpet and your... God's about to cause water to flow through this place. Water, like crazy water. Crazy water. Crazy water over your street. It's going to be messy. It's going to be messy. It's going to be crazy, guys. Like you're about to... Are you guys... Yeah, you don't want water, do you? The shock of the water of God in Australia is going to come through this team. The shock of the water of God is going to come through this team. And it's going to be beautiful, because everywhere the water goes, everything comes alive. Everywhere the water goes, everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. It says wherever the river goes, it enters the sea and the fish come alive. And then it says this, that there are fishermen on every bank and they're catching different kinds of fish. This church is about to catch different kinds of fish. It's going to catch wealthy people. It's going to catch poor people. It's going to catch businessmen. It's going to catch the elite in the academic world. This church is called to release the water of God into every sphere of society. Every sphere of society. Every sphere of society. Every sphere. Cherie, you've been hit by the nail of God. You know what it is to be pierced by God. You know what it is. You know the piercing of God. You know the sacrifice that it is to follow the Lord. And it's almost like he's saying, well done, my daughter. But I want to tell you, there's a shift for you. You're about to have the sloppy wet kiss of God. You're about to have the big sloppy kiss of the groom, Jesus Christ, the groom. Everyone say it's groom day for Cherie. It's groom day. Groom day for Cherie. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Dave Hickman, what size shoe are you? All right, that'll work. I don't know. During worship, the Lord told me to give him my shoes. These are nice shoes. There was a pastor that was visiting from, I won't give him to you yet. I've got to have him for a little bit longer, but there was a pastor that was visiting Bethel, and I looked at him and the Lord said, give him your shoes. Now I'd done it once before, and I gave it to a street kid, actually a group of juvenile kids. And that moment was crazy, because the Lord had told me to stop my run. I was on a run. I was just on a fitness run. The Lord said, if you stop for the one, I'll promote you. And I said, God, this is my run time. I'm always on for you, but this is my time. And he said, Dave, if you'll stop for the one, I'll promote you. And I just wrestled with it. Anyway, come back to these kids. And the Lord says, stop for the one and I'll promote you. So I went up to them and I threw out some words of knowledge. They were all wrong. It was just terrible. And then they had a big black youth worker with them. They go, boys, come in. Now these are all juvenile kids. These are all like, you know, in and out of prison. And he says, come on in here. And he says, this is Dave. Now he knew me from Bethel. He was a previous student. He said, this is Dave. He's paid to love people. And I'm like, that'll do. And so I'm looking at these kids And immediately the number 8 pops in my head. And I said, I pointed to this kid. I said, what happened when you were 8, the biggest kid? He said, when I was 8, I fell on a table and I've had headaches since then my whole life. I said, do you have one now? He goes, yeah. And then I looked at the guy next to him and I said, you put your hand on him and just say, Jesus, heal you. And so he did. He puts his hand on him and says, Jesus, heal you. And then we're just waiting awkwardly. And like 4 seconds later, the kid goes, oh, what happened? And we're going, what's going on? He goes, the pain's gone. It's completely gone. And then the Lord said this, give the kid who prayed for him your shoes. So I gave him my shoes and he said, say this. And I said, you're gonna put these shoes on and you're gonna have an encounter with Father God, and God is gonna raise you up as a father to many, many people like this. And I prophesied over him, and then I ran away in my socks. And then the Lord, I feel so funny. Literally a year later, I'm in a meeting at Bethel, and there's someone standing off the side waiting for prayer. And he comes up and I said, hi. He goes, Dave, you don't know me. I'm a social worker. I'm in the whole juvenile system. He said, a year ago, you gave a kid your shoes and it changed his life forever. And as soon as he put them on, he had an encounter with God. And now he's full on, like he's been full on for God since that night. So I did that. The Lord says, do the same for this Los Angeles pastor and evangelist. And I gave him my shoes and he put them on. Well, from that moment, the Lord just caused his evangelism ministry to go crazy. Now, I don't know why, but he said to give you the shoes today. So I want to stretch out your hands to Davey Hickman right now. And I just declare that you are about to get big feet. You are about to get big feet. You're about to experience what it means to be the one who stops for the one and feels the promotion of God. And I see the big feet of Jesus coming into you, like even more. You're about to see the favor of God come on you. You guys, you and Louise have been so faithful. You've been so kind. But I declare it's a day of big feet in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we bless these guys? All right, you may all be seated. I'm sorry that took so long. So I'm Dave, and I was born in Maui. Anyone from Maui? We had one. We do, yeah. Cool, brother. I'm born in Maui. Grew up half my life in Wodonga. It's good to have my best friend here, Joel. Joel Chile and I grew up like in Wodonga. And now, he was our best man in our wedding, wasn't he, babe? So then I moved to Bendigo, half my life in Wodonga, and then moved to Bendigo. Can we have the house lights on a bit? I want to make sure I see people who are angry at me, because I know not everyone loves Bethel, so I want to make sure I'm joking. No one's angry at me. But moved to Bendigo, and that's where I found my beautiful bride, who is like the Holy Spirit to me. And she's just my best friend. When I moved to Bendigo, I moved to do teaching. Any teachers in the room? No teachers. Give us a loud hoy if you're a teacher. Wee. Come on, teachers, you guys are better than that. There we go. There's a bit of teacher passion. Taff would come up to the school that I taught at, and I just fell in love with her like crazy. So still love her, 20 years married, and we have 3 boys. They're 17, 12, 15 and 12, and they were here at the first service, and they gave me a lot of feedback on that one, so. This one might be better. I don't know, we'll see. I want you to open up your Bibles to Revelation 12:10. Wow. Let's do the chair thing, Joel. Might as well. Do you want to go get it? Is that all right? See, out that door, turn right and turn right. I think it's somewhere there. It's pretty easy to miss. Not easy to miss. It's pretty well there. By the way, I want to thank you for having us today. It's such an honor to be in this house. And I have been honored to know many of the leaders here, Pastor Corey and Simone, and all the leaders here. It's an honor to see what God is doing in Australia. And I want to tell you, it is about to go to a whole nother level. It is not, you know, what the enemy meant for bad, God actually turns it around for good. He is the greatest one at winning. Bill Johnson says he can win with a pair of twos. I don't know what that means. Is anyone a poker player? Apparently that's a bad thing. But he's actually, yeah, just chuck her over there, Joel, yeah. And I am honored and humbled at the presence of God in this room. The absolute presence of God. Like, you guys are passionate worshipers, and what you're stewarding here is nothing short of a miracle in Australia. We just did a conference in Sydney. We had called it the Bethel Conference, and we had a team of volunteers pull that together who were off the charts. And it was amazing seeing the Lord just move in beautiful healings and signs and wonders. And then Chris Valadin gave a word that the Australian church is about to step into a new era. And that's what I really want to prod you with today. I really want to prophesy into this church that we are moving into a completely new era in the Australian church. And no longer will it be an era of what I would call a king culture, where you have these super, you know, whatever, we have superstars and we all sit back and, you know, maybe get engaged a little bit. I want to tell you, God is going to completely reform church. Like, it's going to be like wildfire, and he's actually going to create apostolic family. He's actually going to cause you to walk into your school, into your workplace, into every area that he's created you for, because he created you for that before time even began. He actually knitted you together in your mother's womb. No one is an accident. You haven't accidentally ended up where you are right now. Jesus ordained where you are right now. You're not a victim of where you're at. You're not in a woe is me moment, but you are positioned by God to bring heaven to earth. Heaven comes to earth like crazy around you. Why don't you turn to the person next to them, to you, and just say that? Heaven comes to earth like crazy through you. And feel those words. Feel those words. Revelation 12:10 says this. Then I heard a loud voice. Everyone say a loud voice. Let's say it a bit louder. You guys did better than the first one. Then I heard a loud voice. It's good. A loud voice in heaven, and this is what it said. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Everyone say, have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. Everyone say, thrown down. He who accuses them, that's us, before God day and night. Verse 9 actually describes it, that the great dragon was thrown down out of heaven like lightning. You know, the context that we are in right now is not a big devil and a little God and little people holding on till we get to heaven. That eschatology is a load of baloney. The world is not going to get darker. The world is actually going to become the beautiful bride of Christ. And it's going to take multiple generations to get there. But I want to tell you, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen through works or through smartness or through anything like that. It is going to come through absolute humility, absolute dependence. Verse Verse 11, this is what it says. This is how it's going to happen. This is how an apostolic family is going to emerge in Australia. And they, that's us, the one who are being accused by the enemy, who's ever felt pretty bad about themselves? Give me a wave. Who's ever felt like, you know, who's ever had this thought, oh, no one gets healed when I pray for them? Give me a wave if you've ever had that thought. Okay, not everyone, that's cool, that's awesome. Who's ever had the thought, oh, you'll never be free of that? Give me a wave. Yeah. Who's ever had a thought, oh, you're just like your father? Give me a wave. And he wasn't that good, you know? These are our three weapons against the accuser, and here they are. And they, that's us, overcame the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb. Everyone say the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Apostolic families emerge when we create those three cultures like crazy. It's not rocket science. It's not hard to shift the church into revival, but you actually will see those three things manifest more and more in the coming days. I loved how we first went into prayer for people and the testimonies of Jesus were released in the room. We were sharing testimonies amongst us and just the faith that comes in the room. God has given you weapons, very practical weapons, very practical weapons. And that these three things are actually going to be what ushers in apostolic family. Blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they don't love their life even when faced with death. The purpose of the church is not to create a place for us to tick that Christian box. We've done that for the week. Now we'll go watch the footy. And then we'll get passionate then. See Carlton kick them in the head, you know? Or the Saints. Go the Saners. Go North Melbourne. Anyone for North Melbourne in the room? The purpose, yeah, I know. We've all left North Melbourne. I was. The purpose that the Son of God was manifest was to destroy the works of the enemy. And God came into Melbourne, into your life, because he wants to teach the principalities and powers in Melbourne the manifold wisdom of God, the multicolored wisdom of God, the wisdom of God that causes atheists to freak out and repent and turn to Jesus. You are not a small little thing in this. You are in Christ a raging lion of transformation. And it may not be your experience right now, but I want to tell you, you are doomed to this. I'm worried for you. The supernatural power of God is going to be unlocked in you. Because you're not just paddling around at your ankles in the Ezekiel River. Every single one of you are called to go to the river where it's unfordable. I can't do that. And the blood of Christ is the first weapon given to us. And this is what the blood of Christ shouts. You are a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Everyone say new. It says old things are passed away and all things are made new. And this is not of yourselves, this is a gift of God. Everyone say gift. How much do you pay for a gift on your birthday? How much do you pay for all the gifts that you get given? You don't pay anything, I hope. If you do, that's really sad. I'm sorry for you. But gifts are free. Yeah. Yeah. You are given through the blood of the Lamb the righteousness of God. That means every area of dysfunction in your life, Jesus Christ wants to redeem it. Do you know I couldn't look leaders in the face when I got to Bethel? God spoke to us 14 times over 18 months, moved to Bethel, moved to Bethel. It was relentless when we're in Bendigo. First of all, he said this, sell your house and give away all the money. So that's a whole nother story. But I'd get there and I couldn't even look leaders. I couldn't look Bill in the face, couldn't look any of the senior leaders, couldn't look any of the junior leaders, couldn't look any revival group pastors in the face, because in my life, the enemy had rammed me with rejection. A spirit of rejection was attached to Dave Harvey. Even though I was working with Dave Hickman and a bunch of pastors in Bendigo, seeing the Lord save and do great things, there was a big old tumor of rejection on me. But guess what's happened? Because of the blood of the Lamb, I'm set free from rejection right now. I can look any leader in the face. I feel dropped down in myself. The rejection that the enemy tried to kill me with is actually being completely obliterated. And I'm free now. And what was a tumor in my family line is broken in my line for future generations. Now my boys don't have to worry about a spirit of rejection. So the blood of the Lamb is multi-generational. Everyone say multi-generational. It's actually not about building a big ministry for Dave Harvey. The blood of the Lamb is actually about building a multi-generational move of God. So whatever you're in, you are reborn in Christ. You're made into a new creation so that you can give to the next generation the gifts of God in your life. Now I pass on confidence. Now I pass on boldness. Now I pass on it's like a drop down in myself. That's the only word. I don't know where you'll find that in any book, but it's drop down in myself. I pass that on, and where sin went for 3 or 4 generations, righteousness now will take it 1,000 generations. So the blood of the Lamb is not a small weapon, but it will be small if you don't access it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to take you there. The reason Jesus is transforming you is to change the world, guys. He wants to kick the devil off the planet. That's what he said to Adam and Eve at the start. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. That was the start. Christ eventually comes and gives us the Spirit of God and the same commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he says, pray. This is what your prayer should be. Our Father in heaven, our amazing adopting Father in heaven, how great is your name? How awesome your name is. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Exactly what Raph led us in just before. Let your will be done for Numa. Let your will be done for my life, for my marriage. Let your will be done in my children. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. See, you're not a normal person. Do you understand? You're not a human that found a great church in Melbourne. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You have been made the righteousness of God. And that means he puts God on a scale and puts Jesus in the other side. And he places you in Christ, me in Christ. And he says, it's the same. Do you understand that? Nope, I don't. Does your wife look at you and go, you are just like Jesus. You are the righteousness of Jesus. Do you look at your kids and go, you are like Jesus. You are the righteousness of Jesus, because that is the goal. It's not all hype or fluff. That is the goal, that the river would come into us, an unfordable river would come into us, and it would infect us, change our nature, change our weakness. Ephesians 3 says this, the reason I'm picking this passage as well, just for those that know, I'm not like just picking it because it's a great passage. Ephesians was an apostolic family. Do you understand that? It was an apostolic house. They changed a whole region that was way more sexually promiscuous, way more demonic, way more crazy than what you've got now. The Roman Empire was nuts. Absolutely nuts. It was not something to be glorified. And into that, the Son of God comes, gets 12, gives them the Spirit of God, gives them His righteousness, and they go out and they start to take land and take dominion. And when I say take land, they kick the enemy off the land. And this is, so Paul is one of those guys. Paul is the guy that was actually impacted, radically changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now he's being given a mission. Verse 1, Ephesians chapter 3, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewarding of God's grace, which was given to me for you." Let's stop there. There's a whole lot in there. I just want to highlight this. You're a prisoner of Christ. Sorry, he captured you. And for those that don't know Jesus in the room, I want to tell you, become a prisoner of Christ. Become locked away with the Lord Jesus Christ. Become one that has given up all rights. I think that's what this word means, prisoner. It means I have given up everything. And he says this, for the sake of the Gentiles. What God is doing in you and what God is about to do in this church, every single family, every single person, it's not about building a big ministry for you. It's not about so you can write a book or make money or anything like that. It is not that. That's been poorly modeled by us in the church. That's not what this is about. This is about you becoming the manifest presence of God in your workplace and in your home. It's about you creating an open heaven where angels can ascend and descend, where the glory of God can come in your home and your workplace, and the enemy is displaced. It's so practical. I was talking to my brother, my younger brother, he'll be here in the next meeting. He said, so his wife is in social work at the moment, and she's stressed because of all the, I'm allowed to say woke, aren't I? All the woke stuff that's getting pushed into the social work world, like crazy stuff. And she's also stressed because there's all these young workers coming in that don't want to work, and they're offended at everything. They get offended at whatever. You know, you ask them to do something, oh, you've offended me, that's against my thing, or it's against my identity, and all that. And she's having trouble working all this. And my brother Pete said this to me. He said, so I'm praying for her, and I'm not seeing much happen. And then the Lord says to me, why don't you ask me what you should pray? And he said, all right, what do I pray, Lord? And the Lord says, pray that my angels of truth come and reveal the truth. And his wife would always be pulled into these meetings and accusations, false accusations thrown at her. So he's driving in his car and he prays that. That night she comes home from work, she's like, I just had the weirdest day. I had the weirdest day. And Pete's like, what happened? And he said, well, they brought me into this room. We had all the managers and everyone. And sure enough, the same thing, all these accusations are flying at me. And then suddenly something changed in the room and people started telling the truth. And even the one that was the liar, the main culprit in the room, would try to lie, but then other people would call them out and say, that's not true. Grace is given to us for other people. You know, we have a world right now that is under the influence of spirits, like we prayed against before. It's under the influence of destructive spirits, and they have no idea how to get free from them. But you do, and I do. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. So Paul writes this, I am a steward of God's grace. Everyone say God's grace. I'll tell you what it looks like. This is another picture for me of what it looks like in my life. When I was sharing in the earlier service, I remember I was at university studying to be a teacher and the phone rings. And it's one of our lovely elders from our church back then. And so I pick it up, I say, hello. And they said, oh, hi, Dave, you're not a leader. Is Neil there? And I was like, what? It was one of those weird statements. I don't know if they knew what they were saying, but I want to tell you something. The enemy just grabbed that phrase and rammed it into my chest like a spear. You're not a leader. Where's your brother? Now, I brushed it off. I was like, oh, the nice people. I really love them. Good people. But I want to tell you, it caused a limp in my life that was never the purpose of Jesus Christ for me. Fast forward 25, 30 years. Now we go to Bethel. I do the school of ministry. We've got little kids. Taff's looking after the kids. And all of a sudden, favor starts coming on me. And they offer me a job as a pastor. Now, I never wanted to be a pastor. It was never my desire. And the Lord's like, I want you to do this because you're a leader. Did you hear that? The Lord said, you're a leader. So I'd take that role, do that, have them ball, four or five years of that. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to die doing this. This is the greatest thing on earth, raising up revivalists and sending them out. And then Chris Valadon pulls me into his office and says, how would you like to take over the Global Leadership Network? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And then the Lord said, yes, because you're a leader. And so we take that on and we create the Bethel Leaders Network. We've been running it for 8 years. And now around the world, Taff and I get to run with the craziest leaders like you guys here. Literally, crazy revivalists that are seeing nations impacted, that are seeing spheres of influence impacted. So God comes in and he gives you grace. It's not for Dave Harvey. It's not so I can wear flashy shoes. It's not so I can go to a green room. None of that. It's so that I can put myself at the bottom and cause every other leader to take the kingdom further. That's what apostolic means. Jesus is our apostle and he, the king of all, comes into a baby's body. I was just saying this to Joel. I'm like, do you even understand that? Unlimited, omnipotent, everywhere, all powerful, can do anything. He's eternal. He's outside of time and he forces himself into a little baby for us, for you right now, for this time in history. He forced himself in so that you could become just like him. Not a normal little pussycat that sits on the couch and watches. You know, I don't know what the TV shows are. They're watching that one now. My mum and dad are watching that one where they push the coins over the edge and they answer questions. I don't know what that is. You're not called for that. You're called to create open heavens. Steward grace for the next generation. That's what the Lord said to me. I was like, God, this Bethel trip's amazing. And he said, it's not for you, Dave. It's for your children. And immediately I began to see, oh, I'm a part of a meta story here. Yeah. Yeah. It took the Israelites 450 years to get into every part of the land that God had promised them. Oh, I'm a part of something that's massive. Yeah, I might fall over, but I get back up in the righteousness of God and I have another swing with my sword. Yeah, I might struggle and see that not happen, but I get back up and I declare the righteousness of God. I worship my King and I run into the battle. Not to play church, to displace the enemy. So that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, I'll jump down to that. Actually, verse 8. To me, Paul says, the very least of all the saints. That's pretty amazing. Some of us need a bit more humility. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Do you know God hides things for you? If you haven't seen the breakthrough you want to see, if you haven't seen, you know, this in your life, crazy miracles, if you haven't seen, you know, whatever, don't worry. He's hidden it for you. Do you understand that? He's a good dad. He's like, he's going to lead you to the bush where he's got the treasure. And you might be wandering off towards this part of the house or that, but he'll eventually get you back to that bush and he'll give you a gift that you will steward for other generations. So to me was given grace. And then he says in verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. We are called to displace these demonic realms where it's just who we are. One of my favorite testimonies is from a friend. She's a doctor. She's in our Bethel Leaders Network. And she actually gathers all the medical professionals, nurses, you know, all the doctors, all that sort of thing. And she shared this. She goes, yeah, so I was looking at how I could get heaven more into my workplace. And I would often be talking to my clients and asking if I could pray for them. And they would let me pray for them. So she said, I was blessing my clients. And then the Lord said this to her, you're doing a great job with that. But now why don't you try praying in the operating theater? And immediately like, fear came into her eyes a little bit because in the operating theater, she has the nurses and the anesthetists and all these other people not on her team that are not believers. Some of them are stout atheists. Some of them are just completely against God. And God's saying, I just want you to bless the operation with them in the room. And so she goes for it. She talks to her client, she said, and they're good for her to do it. So she's all scrubbed up, ready to go. And before she starts, she said, before we start, I've talked with the patient and she agreed, I wanted to bless this operation and pray for every one of you. So she just begins to go around the room. I pray for Mary, that Mary would pass me this really well. That you give her peace, God, that you just pour out on her. I bless Sarah over here, that Sarah would do this at the right time. And she would go all the way through. And every time she prayed for, I don't know how many, 8 people in that operating theater, she would get to this guy and we'll just make it Neil. I like Neil. That's a good name. His name was Neil, and he would just roll his eyes and go, because he was a full-on atheist. Hated God. Hate, you know, for whatever reason. So she keeps blessing these operations, and over about 3 months, she starts to see that her operations go 50% better. 50% more successful just by being like that. And then she's doing it one day, and all of a sudden, she hears Neil say, in Jesus' name, amen, with her. And she looks over and goes, did you just say that? And he goes, yeah, I did. And he goes, didn't I tell you? And she goes, what? And he said, last week when that baby died, they had a baby born dead. And he said, I held it in my hands. And he said, all of a sudden, you got up off of the chair and you pointed to the doors and you said, I command life to walk through those doors right now. And he said, something came through the doors and into the baby, and the baby came back to life. And he said, I just began to cry and sob because I knew that God was real. So he said, I looked at some of the nurses, the ones that said in Jesus' name, amen. And he said, I went and asked them, tell me about Jesus. Jesus is not a tame little pussycat. He is a raging lion. Paul continues on, and this is the part I want to land this ship on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And there's so much more, I'm not even going to get into it. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Everyone say, bow my knees. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. The Spirit of God, the Bible says, is like a river, and it's like a river that you could dabble in with your ankles and you can dabble in with your knees, but then it gets to this point where it's unfordable, where it cannot, it's a river that you cannot cross. And Paul describes it like there, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Here's what I feel like God wants to deal with something today. We are called to be greater than we could ever imagine that we could be. We are created in Christ to be unstoppable in every realm, and it's not for our glory, it's for the salvation of everyone around us. But we will only get there if we get off of pride. If we get out of our pride wheelchair, this is why I asked Joel to bring this in. I found this going to the bathroom before. This is what pride will do to a Christian. This is what pride does to us. It makes us powerless. It makes us weak. It makes us a poor example of who Jesus died for and rose again for. This here, I've got to work it out. He's got to move in a certain way that I expect. He's got to do it my way or the highway. This right here is the end of the move of God in your life. He's breaking pride in this room. Spirit of pride is just the antithesis of God's kingdom. It's the antithesis. It's all about, let me build my Babylon. Let me build my organization. Let me build my successful thing. And when you stand before God, it will mean nothing. It will mean nothing. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's not even in my notes. He burns for you. He burns for you to be free from pride. He burns for you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's calling you to places that are fire. Do you guys know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It's all about a proud king. And this is what God is breaking in Australia. He's breaking the proud king spirit. He's breaking it. He's smashing it. And he's going to do it in every realm, in government, in Australia. You watch. Every realm. Every realm. In business. In every realm. You watch these big statues of gold to Satan and to people's ideas, and I did it my way, are going to crumble to the ground. And this is what you and I are part of. Do you understand that? Your yes. What's your yes? This is your yes. Your yes is like, I'm done with being powerless. Yeah. I'm done with being a victim. I'm done with being passive. I'm done with being, you know, oh, woe is me, and the world's going to get worse, and the world's going to get darker, and the church is going to get smaller. I'm done with that. I am actually a new creation in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to get up out of that. I'm not bound to that. I chose to sit in that. I'm going to get up out of that, and I'm going to create an open heaven over my marriage. My marriage is not ending. My marriage is going to win. My marriage is going to be closer than ever. My child is not going the way of the world and lost in the way of the world. No, I'm getting up out of that, and I'm going because Jesus is redeeming everything right now. Everything right now. Like, he's crazy. He's like sticky honey. He's going everywhere and sticking on people that don't want him. You didn't choose him. He chose you. I didn't choose him. He chose me, and he sticks on us, and we're like, get off me. Oh my gosh, that's good. Why are people choosing woke stuff now? They have no taste of Jesus. They have not, they don't even know the meta story. They don't know. They don't know from Abraham right through the Bible to the resurrection to the church. They don't know any of that. They've got nothing to hang it on. Do you know some of the top atheists in the world are coming to the Lord right now? Because science is not the answer. Every human being desperately desires the sticky honey of Jesus. Because he gets on you and he makes you into a new creation. You know what that word means? It means a prototype. Oh, I've worked out my life. I've worked it out. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I know our retirement plan. My wife and I are going to Bali. I've picked out the little villa we're going to retire in. No, you are not living like a Christ child. You know there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not thinking like a God child. A God child becomes like God, becomes like Jesus, and puts themselves in the foundation so that other people can experience the resurrection of Christ. You have to think sacrificially. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is the moment. These moments are coming to many people in this room, where the proud king's going to say, bow to me, and people are going to go, no. In your workplaces, in your schools, in lots of places, you are going to say no. And whatever comes, you're just going to say, not on my watch. And the story goes, the furnace is heated up 7 times and they're chucked in it. And this is what the Bible says. The king looked and his top warriors are dead, trying to throw these Israelite boys in. And then he looks again and he sees 4 in the fire. And he says this, it looks like someone like the Son of God. God is about to call people into fire. You can stay in your wheelchair if you want and bow like everyone else. Or you could run to the fire. Because it's when we run to the fire, as Paul describes here, this is what he says. He keeps going, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, so that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. And that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. God is about to make people like himself in Melbourne. I'm prophesying this. You're about to see some of the biggest miracles in Melbourne that you've ever seen. Like significant miracles. I could tell you crazy stuff that I've seen at Bethel that I'm like, I have no idea of why or how God's glory shows up. But when it does, the fear of God comes in you. You realize, oh, and God is about to turn up in people's fire. But here's what it's going to come through. It's going to come back to that statement from Paul. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. You guys okay? Father is the originator of everything. He's the one that said to Dave, you're a leader. A leader of leaders so they can take it further. So they can take it further. I was soaking in my bed, in my lounge room in a home group, not expecting Father to speak. Not expecting it. And this is what else is about to happen in this church. Father is going to originate things that you couldn't even imagine in your genealogy, in your story. I'm there, we're soaking, which means we've just got worship music on. I got my eyes closed. I'm in this cheap chair that we bought for 10 bucks. It's a terrible chair. Got my eyes closed and I'm just lost in Jesus' presence. And then all of a sudden, I see myself swimming in the sky. And the Lord says this. Actually, I see myself and I'm swimming. Half of me is wearing a Jesus gown, like back in the day. And then half is wearing a business suit. Now, I'm the son of a cleaner. Not good with money at all. Like just, I'm really just, that's not me. And the Lord said this, I've anointed you for the church and for business. That was it. I'm like, what the? Not expecting it, not even asking for it. This is how Father works. He's not a tame pussycat, like what I'm saying. He's a raging lion. If you want to see the kingdom, you've got to become like a child. That's it. Simple. I hope you're not hearing that I'm beating people up today. Please don't hear that. I want to invite you in. As soon as he says that, he starts to set up encounter after encounter with business person that I pray for, and I pray for them because I'm remembering that picture that he said over me, I've anointed you for business as well. I pray and God 4Xs their marketing plan in 2 hours. They text me and go, everything just 4X'd. That was incredible. Someone else would come. God would set up. I wouldn't go searching for it. Someone would come and they'd say, we need a miracle for our stadium event. Can you pray for us? Sure. I think that's business. I prayed. And next thing, over the next week, they get given four $100,000 gifts like that. Someone else comes up to me and says, hey, will you pray for me? We've moved from Texas. I want to start a business. I see them 5 days later and they say, you're not going to believe this. Someone just gave us $500,000 towards a business. I went to a friend's 27-room apartment recently. He's had so much demonic attack keeping this thing empty, and it's been driving his cash flow right down. And he said, would you come and just stay with In-Out? We'll give you a room. We'll give you everything while you go and preach to the pastors, but just sleep here because he was honoring what he saw in my life. And then we left Minnesota, and I get a text from him, bro, as soon as you left, all the rooms filled up in our apartment, been empty for over a year. Well, they'd had five, it'd been nothing. I feel like Father God wants to origin, start new things in people. And if that's you, I just want to invite you to come, and I want you to come down the front. I'm just going to pray for people. And I know that's awkward, but here's what it does. It models this. It's a prophetic act. In Bethel, we talk about prophetic acts, and prophetic acts are all this. They're just like, I'm going to model in the natural what God is doing in the spirit. So if this is what you feel like, that you feel stuck in a chair, I feel like God wants you to go, get up. get up. If you've given up in your marriage, if you've given up on yourself, if you've given up on your workplace, if you've given up on revival in the city, if you're bitter, if you're depressed, whatever, get up out of your chair, come down, and I want you to just do a prophetic act that you're no longer in the chair of pride. You're not going to be a person of pride. And if you're out there, that doesn't mean you're a person of pride. Please, please do not hear that. Do not hear that. But I do know there is a holy moment right now. This is a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment. This is a moment where Jesus is saying, will you give me a yes that causes you to go into fire? Well, that's a happy message. Can we have Dave back next time? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just put your hands out in front of you right now. And I want you to say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're not finished with me. Thank you that you're so kind. Thank you that you talk to me. Say, Holy Spirit, show me any areas where I'm stuck in a wheelchair. I'm proud. Yeah, let it out if it's there. Like, just, you're going to see things. You're going to hear things. You're going to, like, he's so good. He's your comforter. He's your counselor. He's your resurrection power. He's your resurrection power. And I want you to say, Holy Spirit, will you show me Jesus in front of me? Wow. I just want you to go with this, please. The Bible says that we can know the thoughts of God. Who can know the thoughts of God? We can, for we have the mind of Christ. You know, we use our minds to imagine so much fear, so much wheelchairness. We use our minds all the time, and Jesus is like, you give me a spirit, will you give me a mind? And I want you to see Jesus right now in front of you, and I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I give you this. I give you this area where I'm proud. I give you this area where I'm weak. I give you this area where I'm hopeless. I give you the wheelchair right now. I give you the wheelchair. And I want you to see Jesus take that and push it into himself, and he dissolves it, crushes that thing. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I see people getting married for some reason. Single people getting married. That's a good thing. Wow. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, can I come into the fire with you? Will you cause my knees to bend? And Father God, will you create in me things that my eyes have not seen? Things that my ears have not heard. Things that have never entered into my heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I feel like God's healing knees in the room too. If you have knee problems, just check it out right now. I just feel like the Lord is prophetically healing knees. This is all about bending our knees. This is all about us bending our knees to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, right now, for everyone here, I just release a double portion I release a double portion of your glory, a double portion of your power. I declare that brand new things are about to be created in them. But Father, I also pray that this church would take ground, that this would be a season where every family takes ground, that heaven's armies come, that heaven's resources and ideas come, that innovation comes in business. Lord, right now, I bless every business in the room. Put your hands up if you're in business right now. If you're in business, put your hands up. Father, right now, I declare innovation. Right now, I declare debts are paid off, and I declare radical provision, radical favor. Favor upon favor over businesses. Favor upon favor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, innovation right now. Innovative ideas just downloaded from heaven. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.